Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel on this Wednesday morning. It's the 26th of October, and it's a delight to have you with us and with us with you. And we would love to... What, do you disagree?
No, it's just very sweet of you to say that.
I think it was a family. Everyone's sitting around.
Yeah,
we're all listening,
true.
And whatever our pursuits may be, whether we're in the car or home or pretending that we're doing work at our office, whatever the case may be. We love your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the group to you this morning. Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, sir.
I am in a desperate life or death contest with Rosemary for who gets more likes on our pictures.
Well, let's see what happens when I put mine up, okay?
Yeah. So. Oh, another contender.
You have high numbers.
I've
got good numbers.
Lots of good numbers.
You know what? If you work at it, Mike Jonas works at it, you can have a lot of people. I don't work at it because I don't care.
Yeah, the thing is...
Yeah, obviously you care.
I've got like 3,000
No, only when
people.
You attack me.
And that was clearly an attack.
All-out
attack.
I came in and said, oh, wow, there are lots of responses to the picture of your puppy on my page. And he goes, oh, you call that a lot? I get double that, triple that.
Right.
That was my attack.
All right. Well, in a moment.
Without trying.
I'm busy on Facebook.
Okay. Alan,
sorry, we have to do FaceTime.
And, in a minute, we have to make the pivot as to what drives Donald Trump. Okay, so then Rosemary Arameo is here.
Yeah,
she is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany.
And I will be cutting out early. It won't be because I'm angry at Alan. It's because there is a... meeting of the faculty of that program this morning that
Nothing
I must
better
attend.
Than faculty.
No,
that
was,
I love them.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be leaving us at 10?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll get you there in time.
Thank you.
And we will miss you. Libby, you're in for the whole shot.
I am.
Good.
I have a call at 10:30, but...
All right. Do it from the car.
I will.
Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant and a regular panelist, and we're thrilled to have her here as always. Let us go. There was an interesting article in the New York Times about, by any measure, it talks about the idea is what drives Donald Trump, fear of losing status, and they went through all of these tapes.
Taped interviews.
These are recordings for hours and hours and hours, 5 hours of conversation, the last extensive biographical interviews that Mr. Trump granted before running for president. A powerful driving force emerges, his deep-seated fear of public embarrassment. The recordings reveal a man who is fixated on his own celebrity, anxious about losing his status, contemptuous of those who fall from grace. They capture the visceral pleasure he derives from fighting, his willful lack of interest in history, his reluctance to reflect on his life, and his belief that most people do not deserve his respect. In the interviews, Mr. Trump makes clear just how difficult it is for him to imagine, let alone accept, defeat. I never had a failure, Mr. Trump said in one of the interviews, despite his repeated corporate bankruptcies and business setbacks, because I always turned a failure into a success. The interviews were conducted in 2014 by Michael D'Antonio, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who later wrote a biography of Mr. Trump called The Truth About Trump. And I think this goes back. I mean, none of this is really new, I don't think, except that it was for so long and a little more probing. But I think if you just look back of a statement of saying, you know, why do you never say you're sorry? Well, I never say I'm sorry because I'm never wrong. Those are statements that have been made in the past. So that's sort of very much in keeping with that, isn't it?
Apparently, the author gave these tapes to the Clinton administration early on.
The Clinton campaign.
The campaign. Exactly.
It's not an administration yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm not comfortable.
Ahead of yourself.
But they listened to them and did a brief follow-up and then never used it in any way. So he then shops it around to the New York Times. I find them endlessly fascinating, but I'm not sure, as you say, that there's anything strikingly new or horrifying in him.
Mr. Trump, in a statement on Monday night, called the recordings pretty old, pretty boring stuff. Hope people enjoy it.
Well, not only that. Well, he often tries to say something in the beginning. Oh, we don't care about criticism. Let him stay. Remember that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, no, beat him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is always a sort of, you know, do the right thing in the beginning and then sort of change. But based on what you just read, Joe, is he screwed? I mean, if in fact those are the criteria that he has for success in life, he's about to have one gigantic failure.
Yes,
I think
anyway. He'll turn it around. He'll
well, that's what
somehow.
He said.
He'll make a TV network.
That statement is that I don't think of it as failure because I always turn my failures into a success.
Right.
So even this will somehow turn into a success.
Well, he got incredible media coverage, so that's his success.
No,
although
well,
you do
no, but
wonder.
That's how he will rationalize it.
Yeah, no,
whether
that,
it's,
you're right.
That's how he's going to rationalize
there's
it.
There's the truth, and then there's how he rationalizes it.
It's the statement about respect and not respecting anybody but himself, I find so telling of what his personality is like. The true narcissist has come out with that. I found it absolutely disgusting. And he never makes a mistake. Does he really think he's God? I mean, that's the next step.
Well,
I like the one about it's hard to be married to me because, boy, that's got to be true.
Yeah.
Well. All the reasons you all have been talking about.
There's a lot of gold in here, I think. I mean, I guess you could say that there's nothing new, but there's some
it's fascinating. I read every word
of it.
I kept looking for like some new scandal and really Newt Gingrich caused more of an upset yesterday than this
We'll talk about that, yeah.
But also, there's a tape that's floating around of Trump talking about how wonderful the Clintons are and everything
it has.
This is now resurfacing.
Yes,
Bill was a great president. Hillary is
a terrific senator.
You
know, he just lies to suit
his
whim. Yes.
one of the nuggets here. Who do you look up to? I don't have heroes.
I mean,
I don't like talking about the past. It's all about the present and the future for me.
How about the part about fighting?
Yeah. He talks about, I just had that. He's talking about his lust for fighting. I was a very rebellious kind of person. I don't like to talk about it, actually, but I was a very rebellious person and very set in my ways. In eighth grade, the interviewer asks, I love to fight. I always love to fight. Physical fights? Yeah, all kinds of fights. Physical.
It's called bullying.
Arguments? Yeah. All types of fights. Any kind of fight. I loved it, including physical.
It's why I sort of thought Joe Biden made a mistake when he was campaigning the other day and said, oh, I'd like to take him out behind the gym.
I don't know.
They both sound like little bullying.
But, you know, the thing
is,
like it. The thing is this.
I liked it.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. The thing is this. Trump is a coward. There was a bully-coward. Yeah, there's a tape of him during the primary season where somebody got onto the stage and you could see him cowering behind the lectern and turning to the Secret Service guys. You got to protect me. You know, so he really is a coward. He cannot deal.
I saw that. I have to say that I didn't. I think you overcharacterized it.
Oh, no.
I thought it was a startled reaction that anybody would have had. If you want to talk about it being a coward, though, Libby, how about he goes to Mexico and doesn't bring up the price of the wall?
Well, there is that.
He's confronted by Carly Fiorina in the debate and backs down from his you're ugly, you can't be president comments. So he is. I think it's there. But that, you know, you're out in a public arena like that. There's been violence and someone jumps on the stage. I can't fault a person for cringing.
I just thought it was so, because he's such
you.
A macho guy, and then he like cowers like a child.
Yeah, but he's in control, and at that moment he wasn't.
I think that's the
moment. Like, I see that as a natural reaction.
Yeah. So, Alan, you like the pugnacious fighting thing.
Me too.
Well, the short talk.
Were there
the
other things that
the Short Talk twins were.
Are there other points of comparison between you and Trump you'd like to tell us about?
Between me and him?
Yeah. Do you have heroes?
Oh, I have many, many heroes. I mean, Pete, the pacifist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pete was a terrific guy. I mean, I didn't think it was correct to get into fights. It's just that there are times that the Lone Ranger and the Shark Talk twins had to do it.
Okay.
You know, the idea that he has no heroes, not even his father.
Yeah.
Was really, it just speaks to the kind of bankrupt person he is from a moral standpoint. That's all I have to say.
He also, he boasts several times within the interview that he was on Barbara Walters' 10 Most Fascinating People.
Yeah.
And then the interviewer points out that Hillary Clinton had been on there 4 times. And he said, yeah, but I was on twice.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
also Barbara
Walters, for God's sakes.
I find that really interesting. It's just like,
he's
okay.
He's extremely, I don't like her. Incredibly competitive. It's spooky.
Okay, so let's move on to...
You don't like her. How many times were you on? No, I'm joking.
Right.
I'm joking.
No, Alan has his own radio station. He doesn't.
That's right. He's
the
most
Barbara
Walters. He's the most fascinating person of WAMC. And every day you show...
I'm sitting across from Joe, and you tell me that I'm the most fascinating person at WAMC.
Murray what wins. A lovely... Murray yeah, wins. Murray is the most fascinating. He's just sitting here going, what's wrong with you people? I want a treat. Give me a treat.
Donald Trump has no further high-dollar fundraising events planned for the remainder of the campaign, dealing another serious blow to the GOP's effort to finance its Get Out the Vote operation before Election Day. Trump's national finance chairman said in an interview with the Washington Post on Tuesday that Trump Victory, a joint fundraising committee between the party and the campaign, held its last formal fundraiser on October 19th. The luncheon was in Las Vegas on the day of the final presidential debate. We've kind of wound down, he said, referring to formal fundraisers, but the online fundraising continues to be strong.
Well, there's big I'm sorry.
No. After you, please.
Oh, thank you. Well, there are. I just wanted to point out on social media big discounts in the fundraising online. Like the $150 gold ticket is now discounted for like $35.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I think they have had signs of trouble with the fundraising for some time. Mike Pence canceled a number of events. That was 2 weeks ago.
Well, they had it all going for a while, and you know, he really, when he was hot, he was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the old song goes. But, however, he's lost the momentum now, and obviously, if you know that you're going, somebody's going to be a loser is asking you for money, you're less likely to give him the money. Although he denies that, he says he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing too is that you just look at his events now, and this is always, I mean, this has been fairly consistent throughout the campaign, but today he has a major campaign event in Washington, D.C., which is
his new hotel,
which is the ribbon cutting for his hotel. So
I'm not going there.
he's not going to win D.C. I want to make that prediction.
Yeah,
I don't know. Perhaps we're getting
he's not going to win D.C. Yeah. I don't think we have anything to worry about.
I think
there.
You could make a 100% bet on that.
Yeah.
That
I
he's
may be
not going to win.
A little overconfident overall, you know, but that one I'm sure of.
The thing is that this just speaks to the incompetence of his campaign. They have no ground game. They should be ramping up for the next 2 weeks, fundraising, ground game, getting people out to vote. Not happening.
Yeah,
instead, they're retrenching.
Yeah, but
I was just going to say, didn't he say in the beginning that this was going to be a self-financed
yes,
campaign?
Yes, and he hasn't done it. They're still waiting for the other 50 million.
Right. Well, yeah, no, that's the point.
Yeah.
Point is, he said he was going to, nobody would have to give because he wasn't going to be beholden to anybody because he was going to put the money in himself.
And that was up until just after the convention when then it came in that he had his war chest was basically empty.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a ton of donors of modest amounts and made some good money. The question here being, so are you giving up? Are you giving up on the down ticket and overall GOP fundraising because you have an issue with the GOP? Are you doing it because maybe they don't really want you to do it? Or are you doing it because you've just kind of given up?
I think it's all three.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of all three.
Fascinating stuff.
I mean,
by the way, back at the ranch, Hillary Clinton has raised a great deal of money. Now,
twice as much.
As we say, the old-fashioned way.
That's right.
And the old-fashioned way is somewhat suspect because, let's face it, people give you money because they, you know, often, not always. In this case, I think a lot of people give you money because they're scared to death of Donald Trump. Nevertheless, I think people give you money because they want something. And there are people, and this has been the accusation against the Clintons for a while now, you know, that they had special deals for special people. You know, Libby, you can shake your head
all
you
want. I give money every month. the only thing I want is for her to be elected president.
Right.
You know? And I think that there are a lot of people. But they are doing what you're supposed to do. You dial for dollars. You do these big donors. You have bundlers. You do online. You fundraise however it is that you need to fundraise to make the money so that you can be on the air.
Well, what does Rosemary think about my accusation that Hillary did it the old-fashioned way?
She did do it the old-fashioned way, and it works. Hillary knows the game and plays it better than anybody, certainly in this election cycle. The real change for this is to get rid of Citizens United and to put in public financing of campaigns,
don't you think there's something corruptive about the fact that somebody who really wants something back from the government will give you great... I mean, let's say they can bundle and get you $50,000 somehow. And now you get... Don't you think that they're looking to make $5 billion? Look, we've seen this in the Cuomo stuff.
Until the system changes, though, there's no solution. That's why Hillary, for example, is accused of being corrupt because heads of state say to her...
Can you pause that? Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm sorry. I just realized we're out of time. We'll take a break. We'll be back, and we'll continue, and we'll get Rosemary back.
Pause.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. It's the 26th. Of October, and it is 9:35 in the morning. Where are you? Good morning. Roundtable at WAMC.org for any letters that you'd like to send our way, emails. We'd love to see what's on your mind, or at least like we're going to pretend like we do.
Anything.
We may.
Yeah,
we're going to. Not really.
We're going to tell you that we do. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. So good morning and welcome. Let's get to some of those letters and then we'll move on to
Didn't we tell Rosemary?
Oh, that's right. Rosemary was paused. Do you remember what you were paused on?
Not a clue.
Okay.
Me neither.
I have to say I don't remember.
Must have been important.
Either.
I think it was something to do with
Trump. I was
really
going to just let it slide by and know Alan had to bring it up.
Yep, because I knew you wouldn't remember.
God. I hate that. Maybe a listener will call it. I'm
sure a listener of what the N was.
Okay, here we go. Barbara says... I'm sorry.
We were talking about Hillary. We were talking about Hillary Clinton and making money, quote, the old-fashioned way.
Oh yeah,
the discussion, we were saying about Alan was taking the task
that was
of
corruptive. And,
yes, and you were making the case.
I'm making the case that yes, it is inherently corrupting. But Hillary gets knocked as the corrupt candidate because she does it very well. And that's not fair either. So, for example, in the tapes, you hear about heads of state who are saying, I'll give you money for the foundation if I get time to spend with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't spend time with them. They didn't get the donation. So she knows, I think, the limits and does not cross them. Or at least there's no proof that she's ever crossed them.
Ooh-shoo.
Well, the other part of it, you know, the what did you just say?
He made a
Bushu?
Comment
oh,
to me,
I see.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In an FCC-approved way.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know, they knock her for fundraising and doing it right. They knock her for doing opposition research.
Right.
It's like, this is what it is when you're in a campaign, folks. You know, all the WikiLeaks stuff, if any of it's true, is showing that they're doing opposition research. Well, yes.
Big
do.
Surprise.
That's
right. Big shocker.
And all those conversations that are in the WikiLeaks, just one second. All those conversations that are in the WikiLeaks, you know, the high-level conversations between the various people, that's what a campaign is about.
I agree.
Come on. Grow up.
You guys are so... I mean, anything that comes up over here... Look, I'm a huge Hillary supporter. I'm going to vote for Hillary tomorrow, probably. Go into the Great Barrington Town Hall and vote early.
Started today in Massachusetts.
No, it's actually started before.
Yeah, Monday.
I got some from the Boston Globe that said started today.
No. Okay. That was wrong. So either you or the Boston Globe are wrong because Roselle voted the other day. Okay, so, and I don't know who she voted for. We don't share that.
Okay. Quick question. Why can't you take a selfie in the voting booth?
I thought that was crazy.
I think you can now.
There's a big federal thing going on now because people are proud that they are voting.
Justin
They're taking
Timberlake
selfies.
Took a picture
Justin
of
Timberlake did one, and then there have been a couple of others, even politicians who have while they're voting.
You use a cell phone around the TSA? I don't know. They make up these rules. They go to lunch. They're bored people. They make up these rules saying, "Okay, let's today ban cell phones."
I mean, you want to talk about
TSA?
You want to talk about
TSA?
If you want to talk about voter suppression. question. Like, you have an idea, you have something where somebody is proud that they are voting.
Right.
They're not necessarily telling you who they're voting for, but they're proud that they're voting. They're in the voting booth. They're letting people know that they can vote early. Those polls are open. What is wrong with that?
No idea.
I don't know. Maybe they think that people's ballots will get in the picture. So that people can see who... I get it. You can take a picture of somebody coming out of the voting booth, because that's in the news all the time when the candidates go and vote.
I mean, obviously, if you're taking a picture of somebody else voting,
that's an issue.
But if you are taking a picture of you...
That could be their concern, too, since you can turn it all around on your phone. And, you know, you could take somebody else. Who knows?
All right.
I think it's... What difference is
that? Now you want now?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Now you're finally, first you set me on hold forever.
No, we were just. I just had a question about the selfies because I thought that. By the way, that was silly.
we get more questions about our music than anything else we do here, right?
Yes, well, it's very
and Rob gets terrific, you know, attributes for what he do. Well, whatever. Applause. So John says music great today as usual, but why never hip hop? Racism. Just kidding. Freud said, "There's no joke." So there you go.
And there's the challenge.
Yeah.
By the way, we've had hip hop. It's just not for this particular segment. So
yeah. Right.
Whatever.
Okay, but I don't think he was making a serious.
No, I understand.
I don't think so.
I'm just saying for the record.
Nicholas says, "What does the RNC do if Trump loses?" Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Good morning. I believe you would all remember the Republicans saying they would need to change their playbook after Romney's loss in 2012 when it comes to connecting with women, minorities, etc.
Good job with that.
In this context, should Trump lose, what do you believe the need to do actually win a future election? Thanks, everybody. Well, one thing that they'll have to do is to get rid of primaries because their core voters are having none of it. These are what did Hillary call them? I'm not going to say that.
The deplorable
basket of deplorables.
I knew it, but I was
saying. And now there's baskets of adorables.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And Kermit, who is a lawyer, I believe.
Not a frog.
No, not at all. But he's Esquire, and Esquire always means lawyer, right?
Ah.
Yeah. Okay.
Except the magazine.
I think he's a justice of the peace.
No, I know him. I know this guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a Berkshire guy. Selfies while voting. They do not want people pressured by political groups to be forced to show their ballot and how they voted. And that's from...
Nobody's being forced.
Kermit Esquire.
Justin Timberlake taking up a selfie, if you walk out
and say, hey, I just voted for Donald Trump, or I just voted for this person, or I just voted for that person... How is that different than proudly saying that you voted and showing yourself in the voting booth? I mean, to me, there's a mindset of why people say hashtag and they want the attention. And if you tell people that you're out voting, I only see that as good, especially with public figures.
I think that the people at the boards of elections need to be more concerned with Roger Stone and all the poll watchers they're going to
send them. Allison has something to say.
Okay.
And she says, Terry Gross has had someone on yesterday. Who's that? Who explained succinctly how a selfie with a ballot can lead to vote buying, voter suppression. Your vote has to be private. It's ridiculous. I mean, here's what. I knew a congressman once, and he walked around his constituency with a, he bragged about it, with a huge roll of bills. And he called that walking around money.
Yeah, sure.
And he going to the bars.
Yeah, Albany was the way it was.
Have some. Yeah. Actually, it wasn't Albany, but he would walk around and he would say, "Here's, you know, here." But how do you make sure they did what they were supposed to do?
You ban money now from the polling places too. You can't come in with any bills.
What?
That would be comparable to if you want to protect the privacy of the ballot, ban cameras or cell phones.
Okay. So Paul says on this issue. The problem with allowing selfies in the voting booth is that it will make more possible for employers or others in power to require someone to take a selfie to prove that they vote in the correct way.
Oh, please.
A variation on the old paper ballot days of voting box without a screen so that the party faithful could pressure people to vote a certain way. And
it's up to the individual as to whether they want to take a selfie or not.
Yeah.
And then Irene says, good night. No, last night... Irene says pictures.
I'm taking a selfie in the station. As you're
New rule. My friend Elliot, every time anybody did something, he would yell out, "New rule! Can't do that." Okay.
Isn't that Bill Maher?
Yeah, it's a Bill Maher bit. Yeah.
Well, he must have stolen it from Elliot, because Elliot did it 30 years ago, 40 years ago, at Camp Bronx House. Okay. Irene's...
Keep going. Let's go. Yeah. Come on. I know we're going to be here for another 45 minutes. But...
Irene says, pictures. Last night, Terry goes, oh, you did that already. We already know that person said something about that. The Wednesday team is the worst for talking over each other.
We're the same Monday team.
And it would behoove Alan to complete a sentence once in a while. You're wrong. Roselle voted. Murray's adorable. Yada, yada, yada.
You're wrong. That's a complete sentence. Murray's adorable.
Voted. They're all complete.
That's all complete sentences.
What school did you go to? Okay, so...
Yada, 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 on the other hand.
I don't say yada. That's a yada.
Yeah, that's a Seinfeld thing, yeah.
Okay, and Timothy says, what about Trump? Obama's personal physician stated in an interview during the pneumonia saga that he believes that from observation alone, he can determine that Trump has serious personality affectation in the nature of what would be called pathological narcissism. Personally, I think he's correct in that I believe that is what is driving his entire campaign and behavior, and so on, and a much longer letter than we have time for. Gina, our friend Gina, says, I work the polls, and it's thrilling for families and friends to take pictures of people voting for the first time. It's tradition!
It is true. I agree.
Okay, Tevye. Next.
Okay. Our wonderful friend Steve Gottlieb,
our commentator, and Albany Law professor,
distinguished professor, and he knows how to finish a sentence. Okay, so he says selfies. The secret ballot was introduced a century ago to eliminate big time bribery and intimidation, a well known problem of those of us who study the history of election law.
But my question to Stephen would be, if you're just taking a picture of you in a voting booth, even say that you are not, even the ballot isn't in the picture, or because the ballot is online, the ballot is available. So even if you are there and you're taking a picture, and let's face it, with most of these cameras, you can't see anything in them anyway. So that's the question I have. Is it what they're taking of? I guess I just don't understand the argument.
My fan Ted Dixon says, "Cinnamon in your coffee again, Alan?"
I don't know what that means.
What does
that mean? I think he thinks I'm on some kind of. He thinks cinnamon is some kind of drug.
Aphrodisiac.
I'm moving.
I'm not going there.
Hey, so that's what I've been missing.
I don't know. What's cinnamon? What's the...
I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well,
good morning. Did I miss your discussion of Megyn Kelly and Newt's conversation?
Not yet. Well,
we made a reference to it, but we'll talk about it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, all right. Read one more letter and I'll bring it up here.
All right. That's good. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying the same thing about the selfies, so I'm not reading any of those. Barbara says, the self-financing of Trump's campaign goes into his pocket. I may be wrong. So why do you say it? I suggest we look at his campaign finance filings. He charges for the use of his airplane, staying at Mar-a-Lago, paying rent for the office space in his building, selling his hats along with other campaign props and so forth. He's making money off his campaign, or his businesses are, and he is the business. Just a thought. And that's Barbara from Rhinebeck.
It's true, and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal have both looked at that.
They've been talking about that for months.
Yeah, they've been looking at the finance reports, which is true.
So in a headline from the New York Times, actually, we owe you a break, don't we? So we'll do a break, and then we'll come back with the New York Times story. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Subsidium Technologies, a single point of contact for area enterprises to identify cloud-related technology, subsidiumtech.com. Foxgloves Garden Gloves, made with performance sport materials designed for gardening, birding, hiking, and many more outdoor activities, machine washable, foxglovesgardengloves.com. Cindy McMahon, Hunt Real Estate ERA, selling city and country properties throughout the capital region, including Northern Columbia and Southern Washington counties since 2003. GetCindySold.com. And First Light, providing high-speed data, internet, co-location, and voice services to businesses over its own fiber optic network and supported by locally based personnel. FirstLight.net.
Okay. Okay, I got to hurry up. Rosemary's got to go. Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House and the Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, got into a televised tiff on Tuesday night, which the New York Times in their headline says, get into a bizarre exchange on live TV. And yes, it was bizarre.
It was.
In which he accused her of being fascinated with sex for her reporting on allegations of unwanted advances and groping by the Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. The bizarre exchange played out toward the end of an interview by Ms. Kelly's news program, The Kelly File. The discussion turned from who was ahead in the polls, Mr. Trump or the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, when Mr. Gingrich, a Republican and staunch supporter of Mr. Trump, accused Ms. Kelly and the news media of playing a disproportionate amount of attention to allegations by 10 women that Mr. Trump had forcibly kissed or groped them. Mr. Gingrich questioned why a speech Mrs. Clinton had given in Brazil to a bank that had paid her $225,000 was not also worthy of coverage. That was the start of a roughly two-minute exchange on live TV that suddenly became less about the presidential candidates and more about a personal friction between Gingrich and Kelly. You are fascinated with sex and you don't care about public policy, he told Ms. Kelly. Ms. Kelly, me? Really? That's what I get out of watching you tonight. You know what, Mr. Speaker? I'm not fascinated by sex, but I am fascinated by the protection of women and understanding that we're getting in the Oval Office, and I think the American voters would like to know. Mr. Gingrich then began to talk about Mrs. Clinton's former, Mrs. Clinton's husband, former President Bill Clinton, would return to the White House because you, after all, are worried about sexual predators, an apparent allusion to Mr. Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky.
Can I identifying question, and then we let Rosemary go, and that is, I confuse all these guys, but wasn't it Gingrich?
Three wives,
and his wife was coming out of the
she was dying cancer. On her deathbed,
and she's coming out of the whatever, yes. And he told, you know, he wanted
a divorce. I will say though that I think that story is a bit exaggerated because they say that she was on her deathbed when he asked for a divorce, which is not exactly true. He had previously faxed her.
Oh, my God, that makes all the difference.
When she was in the hospital?
Yeah, before.
And the nurses gave her the
facts? Yeah, he had faxed her.
Mr. Sensitivity.
Yeah.
Talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Right. Rosemary. Okay,
well, first of all, I want to say that Gingrich is wrong in saying Kelly is fascinated with sex. It isn't sex. It's violence that we're talking about. And that is a legitimate issue in this race. Second, I can't believe that the way you're going to win back the women's vote you need so badly in the Republican Party was an exchange like that. It was horrible.
Beat up by Megyn Kelly,
was very visibly shocked, I think. The third thing is on Twitter, it was so split. You could tell who people were going to vote for by their reaction.
Oh,
if you
are
a Trump supporter, you thought Newt Gingrich really gave her what she deserves. And if you're a Hillary supporter, you thought she really held her own.
But that's exactly
scary.
The point.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're still doing what they've done all along, trying to get the white male vote
that's
out
right.
there. And to make sure that that's what...
Right, shore up their base,
yes, right.
that base.
It won't work.
No.
Say goodbye to Murray.
Drive.
Bye, Murray.
Drive safe. Come on in, Murray.
Murray, you got to go in there.
Okay, Rosemary out, Murray in is the question.
Okay, that's all right. Close the
all
door.
Right. All right. What did you take of it?
Oh, I watched it this morning, and my hand was over my mouth. I just couldn't believe that he was so stupid in saying what he said and going after her like that. And what was he trying to prove, and what was he going to accomplish other than shoring up his white male misogynist base? That's it.
The other thing is that he seems to have an in and out relationship with the campaign, because right after the
thought he had been disappeared for a while.
Yeah, because after the incident with the Access Hollywood bus and the Billy Bush thing,
yeah.
he said they handled that wrong, they didn't do it, and he really distanced himself from the whole thing. So to then go back and to say that there is a fascination of it, I thought was odd.
For any man to say to a woman, you have a fascination with sex, you know, is just so disgusting. And it's what he wants her to have. A fascination with sex.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's trying to change the conversation.
Sure.
But
I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, there was absolutely no reason for him to go down that route other than for one reason only, which is what we've said, is to shore up the misogynist vote.
We did have a very clarifying letter. May I read it?
Okay, yeah, please.
Alan, great show, but Alan needs a nap. Could he go home?
Well, I guess that is clarifying. But he's drinking cinnamon. That'll wake him up.
You look wide awake.
Let's go to a couple more letters, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and we'll do other stuff. Unless anybody has anything else to say about Megyn Kelly and Newt Gingrich. You didn't really weigh in on it.
No, I like her. Don't like him.
Okay.
You know, the thing is that I hope she gets off of Fox and goes to a real network.
Okay, not about selfies, says Seth. I feel it's not about taking selfies. It's about having cameras in a voting center. Selfies are no big deal. Perhaps someone else has a nefarious intention being voting places, so no camera policy makes sense. And we've had several of those.
Yeah,
right.
No, Stephen Gottlieb, who I had directly asked a
question
write back? To, he wrote back and
Go ahead,
said,
what did he say?
Allows you to prove the way you voted to those who have offered a bribe or
threatened
to break your arm. So I guess that makes sense.
Well,
to
we
me.
Knew
so,
that. We knew that, and we said so. We've said so.
No, but today. I mean, I guess that makes sense, because I think of it as a good thing, but I don't.
Except
but
that,
I see that it. I could see where you would want to.
Yes.
It's like having phones at a racetrack, right?
Yes, but I mean, the idea that you can take a picture so that you can prove to someone you voted a certain way so they won't beat you up.
Well, Zach says
that's real Trump.
Well, Zach,
you've been paid to do it.
Yeah, but still,
I'm trying to let you guys talk, because I don't want to talk over you because somebody would say something unkind to
yada,
me.
Yada yada yada.
Zach says. Zach says, selfie explanation. Imagine an employer requiring you to take a selfie to prove you voted a certain way. This is prevented with an outright prohibition. So everybody's sort of checking in on that way.
Well, then you can just take a picture of somebody else's ballot.
We've had so many letters on this. It's just unbelievable. And then, it's all the sort of same stuff. Michael says, Citizens United was an effort by Clarence and his cronies on the court to benefit their Republican money guys to pour money into campaigns to elect their people. It seems to have backfired. Hillary seems to be benefiting tremendously from unlimited donations from big donors. Donald gets nothing. Not only that, but Barack Obama certainly showed everybody a thing or two in terms of the small amounts of money that so many people many people gave.
Could you read Stephen's letter?
Stephen, I'm looking for Stephen. Stephen, where are you, Stephen? Okay, you read it, because I can't find it.
Stephen is writing about Newt Gingrich and says, I'm hard-pressed to think of anyone who is not fascinated by sex.
Say that again?
He said, I'm hard-pressed. He was saying, Newt Gingrich said, you're fascinated by sex. And he's saying, I'm hard-pressed to think of anyone who's not that fascinated by
sex. Well, he has a point. If you think about it, I mean, you know, ever since, as Tom Paxton once said, the amphibians came out of the slime,
uh-huh.
You know, there were these mutual attractions that went on between, you know, different groupings. I'm being very careful about what I
say. Yes, very good, Alan. You're being very politically correct. The various groupings.
What I'm saying here to you. But the point really is that tension that went on in that way, and I think while it's kidding around about, no, you know, maybe kidding around, it's true. It's basic to man, woman, and every other kind.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that it's what Rosemary said is what's the truth here. It's not sex; it's violence against women.
No, you, a good point.
And can't forget that. And he's trying to trivialize it. Not the writer, but Gingrich. He's trying to trivialize violence against women as, well, it's just sex, which is what we've been told. Every woman has been told her entire life.
Libby, I have no disagreement with you. I think that's exactly what was going on. Nevertheless, this could lead to a sort of reverse McCarthyism, a sexual McCarthyism, because forever, you know, women have been making moves on men have been making moves on women. You know, there's always invitational. So where's the line? What is the line?
Enough is enough when somebody says no.
Yeah, we'll know it when we see it.
No. It's not we know it when we see it. When a woman says no, when a woman pushes back, when...
I couldn't agree with you more. But what happens 20 years later when somebody says, you know, he made a move?
You mean like what he did?
Yeah, and it was unwanted.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. What do you tell your son?
I don't know. I have no concept of how anybody can think the way he thinks.
No, we're not talking about Trump right now. But we are talking that this may lead to something else. I can see it leading to something
like
else.
What? Like,
well,
what do you,
like
exactly you say? I made a move, and so saying, so your son should make that move too? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, on the contrary. Stop putting words in my mouth.
Well, I'm trying to clarify.
No, I'm saying, though, that there is a sexual attraction between men and women, men and men, mm-hmm. and all the rest of that. Again, I get points. And what is to prevent 25 years from now somebody saying, that guy made a move on me, or that woman made a move on me?
There's nothing to prevent that, but that's a blaming.
People can be ruined that way, you know.
But the thing is that it's not about they made a move on me. It's about whether or not enough women come forward to say so and so made a move on me, even if it was 25 years ago.
You keep bringing it back to
but
Trump.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that it's about consensual relationships.
It is. And is it like the Supreme Court thing, I'll know it when I see it?
No, I don't think so. I think that trivializes women's experience around how men sexualize our lives.
How about men who accuse women of coming on to them?
All right, in 5 seconds, we will tell you that we'll continue this conversation, perhaps in a different form. We'll be back.
Who would ever come on?
Good point.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary has left the building. Although
she had to go to a faculty meeting. We feel sorry for her.
Although
she's afraid her chairman's going to beat her up.
Murray, Alan's Westie, is in her chair ready to go and offer his opinion.
Yeah.
And Libby Post is here. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
Good.
All right. So let's talk about some other issues. We'll get to some male as well.
Sure.
In that process.
And maybe some female.
Alan, stop. Mm.
Okay. All right.
if you want to do the male first, that's fine. If not,
no. You're the chief. You decide.
Hardly. But let me do this. So one of the questions I did want to get to the Colin Powell endorsement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the importance of that. Does anybody think that is important?
I think it's huge.
I think it's major.
Look, I think Colin Powell has had his issues. He went before the UN. He told them about the weapons of mass destruction, but so did a lot of other people. But in terms of respect for him as a general for leading the defense and for doing all of that, and he's just a— it's a Yiddish word, and I'm sorry I have to use it because I get mail on this. He's a Hamish guy.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a mensch.
He's down to earth,
He's a mensch.
Yeah, he's all of those things. And people like him. I like him. I tell you, it's impressive. I think this signals that the Republican establishment, the Bushes and the Romneys and the other guys, are all so appalled by Trump that as we get to the election day, you're going to see a lot of people mm-hmm. coming out. The Bushes have already let it be known.
Right.
But it's extraordinary that so many people who are Republican, bringing us back once again to Saturday Night Live, are you going to vote for Trump or are you going to vote for the Republican?
Yeah, right. That was a great line. And there's a little bit of truth there. But, he has just made it so easy and hard at the same time. It's going to be very difficult to put this party back together again, the Republican Party, and who knows what's going to happen after the election is over. I don't think Reince Priebus will be chair anymore, and I think that there's going to be a major civil war within that party. But then on the other hand, he's made it so easy for well-meaning, thoughtful people to say, this is not what the Republican Party is about, and so I'm going to support Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, look, this guy is going to go down in history as a bit of a nightmare.
Nightmare? A bit?
I think he is
our long national nightmare.
And a lot of people, but here's—
in other words, the perception won't change?
No.
But here's the thing. The 40% hasn't gone away.
No, and they won't.
That's huge.
It is.
And that's why the Republican Party is going to have a hell of a tough time reformulating themselves.
Right. There's going to be two. I think there's going to be two parties.
Well, if there are two, they're done.
Yes. Yes, and that's okay. But did you hear about how there's Trump supporters at rallies who were using the phrase Lugan press?
No.
Yes, there are, which means lying press, which is something that came out during, Hitler's time. It's a word that's been banned in Germany. And they're starting to use it. And there's a lot of neo-Nazi rhetoric going on, and the anti-Semitism coming out of the Trump campaign is astounding.
Well, wait a second. His son-in-law is Jewish.
Yeah, so what? Okay. So what? His daughter is a Jew by choice, an Orthodox woman, and this is what's happening, and they're not denouncing it. That's the issue. They're just not denouncing it.
All right. let's go to some letters, and then we'll move on to...
Tell me how you really feel.
So here is Micah. It's Micah. M-I-C-A. What do we say? Micah, Micah?
Micah? I think Micah.
It's Pica when there's a
usually
P
when there's an H, there's right. a... Yeah, yeah.
So. Okay. Libby's and Alan's discussion about make a move misses the point. Trump claimed... and alleged actions were beyond make a move. Trump claimed and alleged actions were beyond a move. Mm-hmm. He supposedly touched women not in relationship with him in areas of their bodies that he knew and are known in our society were wrong to touch. In his access tape, he shows that he knew it was wrong, but that because of the power, he could get away with it. By the way, Libby, I think even though we were on slightly different sides on this one, you and I both know I was not talking about Trump. I made that point four times.
I said
there may be a development of a sort of sexual McCarthyism where people come out and say,
I find that offensive, I have to tell you. But I'm not surprised that you and maybe some other men would think that way, that there's going to be a sexual
McCarthyism. Well, not only men, but women. I mean, I could come out. Look, I'll be honest with you. We made a joke out of it before, but women have come on to me in my life. And I'll tell you, what are you looking so dubious about, Libby? They have.
You must have been really young. I'm surprised you remember.
Hey, Libby, here are the keys. Will you show you walk this up? I'll be, right. I'll be back in an hour.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so that one is done.
Yes,
okay.
It certainly is.
Amy. Any woman as a sexual partner or a willing participant engaged in a mutual or sexual advances back and forth shows obvious signs of being excited, interested, aroused, and otherwise interested in the activity. Agreed. I agree. That's the sensitivity issue. But then there may be people who come out and, you know, I would refer you guys back to Joseph in the Bible. Do you remember? Your Bible?
With Potiphar's wife?
Wife, yes. Falsely accused because he wouldn't do the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
All the way back to the Bible.
That's lovely, honey, but the fact...
Don't you honey me.
The fact of the matter is that the women always end up being the victims in these situations. And the sexual McCarthyism just, I find, that concept minimizes women's reality when it comes to sexual
violence.
Well, no,
you certainly are right about that. You right. certainly are right. I am not going to
okay.
I'm not going to fight with you about that. Aaron,
so many other things to fight with you
right,
about.
Why should you fight with
Aaron
you about
Aaron
that?
Says, good morning, panel. A variety of voices on a weekly basis include Black Lives Matter and Jill Stein supporters would add depth to your discussions. All right. And let's see here. Larry says, it is important to remember that Trump brought up the entire sex topic when he first announced that he was going to shock the country with what he knew about Bill Clinton. He took the first punch when Mrs. Clinton campaign responded with a stronger counterpunch, a punch that keeps on punching. Suddenly, the Trump people become critical of the tone and direction of the campaign. Gingrich is nothing but a sycophant. Hoping to get a government patronage position for his loyalty, he runs the risk of exposing himself for the jerk he is. He has nothing to lose. If he doesn't get something in this election, he fades away. Gee, what a shame. And that's from Larry. All right. And
well, the other sycophant in the equation is Rudy Giuliani. It's like, what does he want from all of this?
Right. Okay. And Bobby says, I think the conversation shifted a bit. Yes, anyone can say anything about anyone else after any amount of time. The conversation was about Trump's pattern. No. I made it clear, Bobby, that there was a difference with what I was talking about and Trump. And you should know that. And if you heard what you want to hear, that's on you. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Molly says, Michael Moore, Trump's election will be the biggest, and then uses a word we can't use on the radio, something new in history.
Oh, yeah, don't. That's a spam thing.
Oh,
I
it's
think.
A spam thing?
Yeah,
I'm
I think so.
So sorry.
We got a whole bunch of those yesterday. I don't know what they are.
Huh.
And then there's lots on the selfies, and I don't know what else to say.
All right, well, then yeah. I can go to another topic then.
Okay, good. Let's do that.
Excellent. We have 5 minutes left, so we have a couple of things to talk about. There is, of course, I do want to mention the I do want to mention the latest batch of emails that came out. So is this going to be every day till Election Day?
What?
The new WikiLeaks emails?
I guess this will be every day? I think so.
Probably, but what's interesting is that people are not attending. Exactly.
Nobody cares.
People don't care about it.
There's email fatigue. Nobody cares anymore. Julian Assange has been discredited, and the only people paying attention to him are the fringes on both sides.
Well, you know, journalists, you ask any good journalist, whether or not they care where the emails came from or where the evidence came from. They'll always say no. What's important is whether it's true or
not. Right, and that's the thing.
But I think what's happened here is that people, and you're right, I don't think people care about this anymore.
No, they don't.
But also in this particular case, in the latest email round, the point was is as the email issue was starting to emerge, her staff was being very cautious as to and said that we have to be on this and what are we going to do? And they talk about they issued basically a circle of emails that came out, a string that says, okay, well, what do we do, and how do we do it? And it just seems organizational.
Put another way, what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
This is part of
like
running a
something
campaign.
Happens, and you write an email that says we need to clear this up. I don't know. Is that damning?
No, the same thing used to happen before emails in telephone calls and personal conversations.
Yeah,
and maybe a written letter.
But there's something else that's going on here, and that is that people really the news media abhors a vacuum.
Yeah,
they have more vacuum, and they want to be even-handed here. So you get the Trump stuff on the one hand, and then you get Hillary's people saying we have to be careful about this, and you say as if that's a big shundler.
Right, right. And honestly, the veracity.
Pretty soon I'll be talking just
totally Yiddish.
Totally Yiddish,
and I'll have to translate for everybody. But the veracity of these emails, whether or not they're real, the connection with the Russians and Assange, and now I guess the Ecuador embassy, okay. That's where he is, right?
I'm not sure I buy that argument.
What? That it's the Russians?
No, that it's not real.
That it's not real?
What's not real?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Well, the argument being that a pattern in this is that often there is phony emails put in as propaganda, but I'm not sure I buy that because first of all, it all seems to be right place and right time, and also the Clinton people really don't seem to be dismissing,
rising to the bait.
And they're also saying okay, they're defending what they've said more than they are that they didn't write it.
I agree.
So, just for the...
Yeah, okay, fine. But the real issue here is...
What else you got?
Email fatigue. Nobody cares.
I have VW. Let's talk about Volkswagen.
Ooh. Ooh. Roselle has a 12-year-old Audi A3. I don't think she qualifies.
No.
No.
Darn.
No, but our son just bought a used Tiguan, I think. And we wonder if he qualifies.
So this is amazing. I mean, this is obviously a huge story. It was when it broke, and it continues to be. Volkswagen took a big step toward fixing, or trying to fix, its tattered reputation Tuesday as a federal judge formally approved a $14.7 billion settlement of the automaker's emissions cheating case. The deal is the largest auto scandal settlement in U.S. history and paves the way for the company to make amends to 475,000 U.S. owners of Volkswagens and Audis with 2-liter diesel engines. Motorists can now have their cars bought back or modified by Volkswagen and receive additional cash compensation up to $10,000 each.
Whoa.
What a hit to a brand.
Yeah.
True. But one of the things about human behavior that I'm so interested in is how many people will not take advantage of any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I like my car. That's
yeah,
it.
Right. But then they won't be able
to
get...
That's a great point.
But they won't... But then their cars won't be able to get inspected and pass inspection.
An emission.
That's
the
issue. Oh, yeah. That's part of the issue here.
You have to have a certificate.
You have to... There's the emissions issues for cars. There's a standard, and if they don't meet the standard, they won't pass the inspection.
Yeah.
All right. We are out of time. I want to thank those of you who stayed. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're the sole survivors.
And thank you, Murray.
Yes, and to Murray as well. We'll be back after this break.